Our scripture reading this evening is Psalm 131. Psalm 131. This is the word of the Lord, a song of ascents of David. O Lord, my heart is not lifted up, my eyes are not raised too high. I do not occupy myself with things too great and too marvelous for me. But I have calmed and quieted my soul, like a weaned child with its mother. Like a weaned child is my soul within me. O Israel, hope in the Lord. From this time forth and forevermore. Let us pray. Our Lord and our God, we ask that you would be with us by your word that does not return to you void, but accomplishes all that you purpose. Lord, grant us grace that we might hear it with faith, that we might receive it with love, and that we might practice it in our lives. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Psalm 131 is a song of ascents. It was a song to be sung on the way to Zion as one ascended the mountain to worship at the temple, to worship at the house of the Lord. Psalm 131 is not long. But what it lacks in length, it makes up for in depth. It is a song that expounds the neglected virtue of humility and the lost art of being still. It begins, O Lord, my heart is not lifted up. My eyes are not raised too high. Both the lifting up of one's heart and the raising of one's eyes, they are images of pride and self-exaltation. Throughout Scripture, the lifting up of one's heart and the raising of one's eyes, they are condemned. Concerning the lifting up of one's heart, we read in Proverbs chapter 16, verse 5, everyone who is arrogant in heart, that is, everyone whose heart is lifted up, is an abomination to the Lord. And again in Proverbs chapter 18, verse 12, before destruction, a man's heart is haughty. That is, before destruction, a man's heart is lifted up, but humility comes before honor. We have an example of someone lifting up his heart in Ezekiel chapter 28, verse 2. Son of man, say to the prince of Tyre, thus says the Lord God, because your heart is proud, that is, because your heart is lifted up, and you have said, I am a god, I sit in the seat of gods, in the heart of the seas. Yet you are but a man, and no god, though you make your heart like the heart of a god. The lifting up of the heart, it was the sin of Adam. It is the desire to be God. The lifting up of the heart is the pride of man. And so it is with the raising of one's eyes. In Proverbs chapter 6, verse 17, among the six things that the Lord hates, and the seven that are an abomination to him, we find haughty eyes, that is, eyes that are raised. And again, in Proverbs chapter 21, verse 4, we read, haughty eyes, eyes that are raised, and a proud heart are sin. And in Psalm 18, verse 27, we read, for you save a humble people, but the haughty eyes, the eyes that are raised, you bring down. When David declares that his heart is not lifted up and that his eyes are not raised too high, he is humbling himself before the Lord. He is acknowledging his lowliness. He is acknowledging that the Lord alone is God. And in the second half of verse 1, David tells us what it means to be humble. What it means to live as one whose heart is not lifted up, as one whose eyes are not raised. I do not occupy myself with things too great and too marvelous for me. This is what it means for David to live in humility. I do not occupy myself with things too great and too marvelous for me. But what are these things? These things that are too great and too marvelous for David. These things that are too great and too marvelous for us. Too great and too marvelous for you. When we look throughout Scripture at what these words, great and marvelous, describe, we find that they are used throughout Scripture to describe the works of God. We find it in Job chapter 9, verse 10. God does great things beyond searching out, and marvelous things beyond number. And again in Job chapter 37, verse 5, he does great things that we cannot comprehend. It is part of Job's confession to the Lord. In Job chapter 42, verse 3, I know that you can do all things, and that no purpose of yours can be thwarted. I have uttered what I did not understand, things too wonderful for me, which I did not know. In Psalm 131, the things too great and too wonderful, they are the things of the Lord, His counsel and His works. But why does David say that he does not occupy himself with such things? After all, God's people are called to remember the great and wonderful works of the Lord. They are called to recount them. They are called to declare them in praise. But in Psalm 131, to be occupied with such things is not to remember them or to meditate upon them or to declare them. Rather, to be occupied with such things is to worry about them, to attempt to accomplish them. A more literal translation could be, I do not walk in things too great and too marvelous for me. In Scripture, to walk in something is to do that thing. As in Psalm 1, blessed is he who walks not in the counsel of the wicked. Or as in Psalm 81, verse 14, oh, that my people would listen to me, that Israel would walk in my ways. But the things that are too great and too marvelous for you, you are not called to walk in them. You are not called to be anxious about them. You are not called to attempt to accomplish them. They are the things of the Lord, which only He can do. They are His works, which only He can accomplish. To occupy oneself with such things is an abomination in God's sight. This is why David calms and quiets his soul. This is why he becomes like a child. David compares himself to a child, but not just to any child. David compares himself to a specific kind of child. He compares himself to a weaned child. And he does not compare himself to any weaned child, but specifically to a weaned child upon its mother's lap. David compares himself to a weaned child with its mother, to a weaned child sitting upon its mother's lap. What is an unweaned child like when it is with its mother? An unweaned child with its mother flails its limbs and cries for its mother's breast. But a weaned child is still. A weaned child is still upon its mother's lap. A weaned child does not worry about the work of his mother. He does not worry about her work of nurturing him or feeding him. The weaned child has learned to trust her. The weaned child has learned that she will give him what he needs in due time. The weaned child does not demand. For the weaned child knows that whatever he truly needs will not be withheld forever. The weaned child knows that whatever is needed by him will in due time be given to him. And so it is in Psalm 131, that David compares himself to such a child. And Psalm 131, it calls you to be like a weaned child with its mother. Psalm 131 calls you to be like a weaned child with its mother. And this is how you are to be with the Lord. Like a weaned child with its mother, so you are to be with the Lord. For the Lord calls you to be still in his presence. To be still and know that he is God. To be still and trust that he will give you what you need. In times of trial, in times of difficulty, the temptation is to be busy. To busy yourselves with fixing things, even when those things are beyond you. Even when those things are too great and too wonderful for you. Even when those things can only be accomplished by the Lord. It is in such times that Psalm 131 calls you to be still. To be like a weaned child with its mother. To be still in the presence of the Lord. To be still and know that he is God. To be still and trust that He will give you all that you need. If idle hands do not bring glory to God, neither do busy hands. Psalm 131. It calls you to be still. It calls you to trust in the Lord. And those who trust in the Lord, they will glorify the Lord. Be still and trust that He will give you all that you need. O Israel, hope in the Lord. From this time forth and forevermore. This hope is yours in Christ, who Himself became for you a weaned child upon His mother's lap, who Himself quieted His soul before the Lord, who in the agony of death said to the Lord, "Into your hands I commit my spirit." Whatever you need from the Lord, you need not demand it. You need not busy yourself for it. For He who did not spare His own Son, but gave Him up for us all, how will He not also with Him graciously give us all things? To Him be the glory forever. Amen. Let us pray. Our Lord and our God, forgive us for our idleness, and forgive us for our busyness. And Lord, we ask that You would transform us by Your word and spirit into the likeness of Your Son, into the likeness of a weaned child upon its mother's lap. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.